Good morning, everybody. Glad to see everybody out this morning. Be turning your Bibles to 1 John. All right, so we sort of got through the first couple verses here, what I would call the introduction into the book, and we started talking about some of the things this book is about, and you know, we're hearing from somebody who's a firsthand experiencer of the grace of God, and it makes a difference when you hear something from somebody who's heard something firsthand or been involved in it firsthand. Brother Dustin, they're more likely to get the story right and to tell you what you really need to know. And so I'm thankful for our Bibles because of that. And so we'll read these first four verses again. Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so as we come here to these verses, as I said, we have the introduction. We know that by reading our scripture, we understand who he's talking about. He says, the one that I'm talking about is the word of life. And that is, we know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life was manifested. In other words, it was made to where we could get a hold of that thing. And we've seen it, we bear witness of it, and we show you that eternal life. And that eternal life only comes from one place, and that is from the Lord. And I'm thankful that he made it manifest unto you and I. But here we come to verse 3, and we start seeing the purpose of the writing here. He says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you," talking about the things that he's already said there, "that ye also may have fellowship with us." And so what we have here is he goes beyond an introduction and he makes an invitation. He says, "Hey, I want you to have what I've got. I want you to know what I'm talking about. I want you to be involved in what I'm involved in." It would be good for saints today to be so excited about the things that we are doing, the things that we know, the person that we know, that Brother Nathaniel, we would want to reach out to people and say, "Man, I want you to have fellowship with us." So what I've got is so good that you can't stand to not have this. And if we could get that attitude in our daily lives, and can you imagine the difference that it would make? Dustin, I want people to have fellowship with us. And I'm talking about the people of God. And that's what this writer here is talking about. Obviously, there's more than one person that's involved in the writing of this book. He says, fellowship with us. He constantly refers to us. And we know that John is part of this us, but... Folks, I want people to be involved with what we get to be involved with. There's a whole world out there that has no involvement in the things of God. And largely probably because we're not showing them how good it is. And that's a little bit convicting for me to think of. But their desire, he says, "That which we've seen declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with" who? "The Father and the Son, Jesus Christ." So it's one thing, Brother Cliff, for us to come and fellowship, and we can fellowship around all kinds of different things. I mean, we can fellowship around food. We can fellowship around our work. Brother Chris, we can fellowship around music, all those different things. But the fellowship that he's talking about here is not any of those things. He's saying our fellowship, Dustin, is with the Father and with the Son. And I really liked what Kevin said. I guess it might have been maybe Sunday or Wednesday. He said, when we come in here, what should we want to talk about? We ought to come in here talking about the Lord. We ought not come in here talking about everything else that's going on and on what we plan on doing the next week. We might ought to be talking about the Lord, don't you think? Ain't that what this fellowship is about? And, you know, there's all kinds of fellowships in the world. When I was in college, you had all these fellowships, these fraternities, right? And they were all, you know, based around some principle, some thing. And I think today one of the ones you hear is FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. All these different fellowships. And, you know, I'm sure some of them's good, whatever. I don't know. I was never involved in any of that. But there's one fellowship that I am involved in, and I'm very glad to be a part of this fellowship. And that's this one right here. There was a day, Brother Jerry, that I got fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. And if you're born again, you've had that fellowship at some point in your life. It might have only been the day you got saved and you've been out of fellowship ever since. I don't know. But you can have fellowship with the Lord every day. And I hope that that is your desire. But he said, that which we've heard and we've seen, declare we unto you. Of course, that's the Lord Jesus. And he's declaring it. And I want you to understand that that's a job that you and I have as well, is to declare the Son of God. We ought to be telling people about Him. In fact, that is part of the Great Commission, right? We're supposed to go out into all the world, right? That's what we're told to do. We're not supposed to stay here and sit on our pew and be tight-lipped the rest of the week about the Lord. But I'll get there in a minute. I ain't meaning to stay here, but Nathaniel, that's how we live our lives. We come in here, and this is the only place that we testify. But our testimony means a whole lot more out there than it does in here. I can testify to you, and you already believe what I'm saying. It's easy for me to testify. It's easy for me to stand up and say, man, God has been good to me. There was a day He saved my soul from my sin. I can tell you that all day, and you can say, yep, I'm fellowshipping around that. I understand that. I know where you're coming from. But it's different when we step out into the world, in the workplace, around a bunch of people that don't understand. They've never experienced the things that we're talking about. It's a lot harder to speak out there, isn't it, than it is in here. Because out there, there's a good chance you might be questioned. You might be ridiculed. They might call you crazy. They might look at you and just shake their head. They might break fellowship with you. You ever had anybody at work break fellowship with you? Over the gospel? Hey, I've made a few people mad over it. That's not my goal. I made somebody mad. I had a fellow the other day. Brother Dustin, he'd send me scriptures every day. My wife can attest to it. She said, why is your phone going off at this time of the morning? This old fellow, he's sending me scriptures, and he's sending them from the ESV. And that's the English Standard Version or something like that. I don't know, something. So anyway, it's not like my version. And so Brother Adam, he talked to me at work the other day. He just walked up. I was in my office. He said, my friend's back there. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And he came to my door. And he said, Josh, what are you doing? You know, started a conversation. He said, I got a question. He said, how come you hardly ever respond to those scriptures that I send you? And I said, well, since you asked, I'll tell you. And so I shared with him, Brother John, why I believed that his Bible was the wrong Bible and why I believed he needed this Bible. And I explained to him, Brother Adam, that I believed his doctrines were wrong. And because a lot of times he don't just put the scripture in there, he'll tag it with something out of his own, you know, his own doctrine. He's a Church of Christ is what he is. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that they believe are different than what we believe. And there's been a few times he said things that I would call heresy. And I've responded to him on those. And he wouldn't respond back once I said things. But for the most part, I try to be, you know, the Bible says, you know, with everything that lies within you, or as much as lies within you, we're supposed to live peaceably with all men. And I have to work with people, and I understand that, and I want to keep things right. And I don't want my testimony to be marred because of the way that I say something, the way that I react. So I try to be real careful. And as long as what he was sending out wasn't harming me or hurting me, then, Brother Stephen, I just let it go. But now there was a few times he said some things that I was offended at, and I felt like he was sending out wrong, and I let him know that. Let him know where I stood and why I believe. I didn't just say I don't believe that. I'd send him back a bunch of scriptures and say, this is why I don't believe that. But anyway, Brother Adam, I hadn't responded to him in a pretty good while. And not to offend him or nothing, but when he did ask, I told him. Well, guess what? How many scriptures you reckon I got since that day? Zero. But that's okay. I'm okay with that. That does not hurt my feelings. I did not go out of my way to harm him, Brother Jerry. Had no interest in hurting him. But I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth. And if he asks, I'll just tell him. And I still love him, and if he ever needs help, I'll help him. But anyway, my testimony means something to me, and yours should too. And we ought to be willing to share it no matter where we're at. And sometimes what I'm saying is sometimes people break fellowship with you over it. And that'll just have to be okay. But there's one that never will. There's one, if I'm trying to walk it, we'll get there one of these days. If I'm trying to walk in the light and do what's right and follow Him, there'll never be a time that the Lord will break fellowship with me. That's not the way He operates. But the people now, even in a church, pastor stands up here, teacher stands up here and says what's right, you might turn away and not look at me for a little while because you didn't like what I said. You didn't like what Brother Kevin said. I've seen people try to skirt around Brother Kevin as they go out. You know what I mean? They didn't like it. Is he your enemy because he told you the truth? No. No, it's not my job to get up here and try to... I'm not your life coach. I'm not your counselor. Our job is to have fellowship in the gospel. And if you come here for any kind of other fellowship, you're here for the wrong reason. But our fellowship is around the Father and the Son. And the Holy Ghost is what puts us all in that together. But anyway, we'll move on. So His desire was that we have fellowship with Him. And that is one of the purposes of this epistle. And so what does that word fellowship actually mean? I looked it up. It means companionship. It means society. It means mutual association of persons on equal or friendly terms. In other words, hey, everybody gets involvement in this thing. It's a partnership. It's people that have joint interest about something. They have an intimate familiarity with something. And one of the neat things about a fellowship is that all parties that are involved share in the gains and they share in the losses. That's what this thing's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about us working together for one cause, and we share in the gains, and sometimes we share in the losses. But at the end, we know that in this fellowship, we're all gaining. So I appreciate the opportunity to be in this fellowship, and I already said, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And so what that tells me is that this fellowship, it's a package deal. You see, there's people out there that would teach that, you know, Jesus and the Father are not one. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe they're the same. Go ask a Jehovah's Witness and see what they say. Go ask a Mormon, Brother Adam, and see what they say about the Lord Jesus. They don't believe what we believe. They don't believe what the Scripture teaches. But when you get the Father, in fact, Jesus said Himself, He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And then He said, no man cometh unto Me except the Father, which sent Me draw him. So they work intimately, hand in hand, together. And look with me at John 14. Even the disciples had trouble understanding this fellowship. They didn't understand how that Jesus was God and God was Jesus. And Jesus was 100% man and yet He was 100% God. And I still don't understand it, but I still believe it. But John 14, verse 8, You know, hopefully you're familiar with John 14. It starts, you know, a very familiar passage. Let not your heart be troubled. And then he goes down to verse 6. You know, this is where he tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But when we get down to verse 8, the disciples are hearing all this, and they're, you know, they're getting nervous about everything that's being revealed to them. And Philip said unto him, in verse 8, says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And he said, that'll satisfy me if you will show me the Father. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father. So what you have is Jesus tells them that, hey, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. What that tells me, Brother Adam, is they're inseparable.
That's right.
You can't take one away from the other. It don't work that way. He said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, if you haven't seen by now the things that I do, that the Father is in me. But you remember those questions that they asked? They said, how do you do these things? Nobody can do these things but who? But God. They had that understanding. The Jews had that understanding. He said, nobody can do these things except they're from God. And Jesus is like, I shouldn't even have to tell you, Philip, if you've not seen it by now. And I'm not saying that I understand it, John. I don't understand how that God became flesh, dwelt among us, and how that there was still a Father in heaven, and how that the Son was down here. And that he had flesh, but God's a spirit. I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around it. But I'm not God, and I don't have to, and I'm thankful for that. But he said it real plainly in John 10:30. He said, I and my Father are one. So he made it real clear that they are one and the same. Now, they play different roles. They're just different manifestations. Different ways that God reveals himself. But they're still yet all God. And we'll get there, but the Bible teaches in 1 John later on that there's three that bear record in heaven, right? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Those, and these three are one. So, and by the way, a lot of you new Bibles won't have that in it. Just so you know. That's removed. That's why we reject these other scriptures. But that's not topic for today. But the question is, so we have a fellowship, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But I don't know about you, before I join anything too much, before I get too involved, I'd sort of like to know what this fellowship looks like. And maybe you're here and you've just got your feet wet in this thing, and you're trying to determine, do I want that? But I want to share some things that the Scripture tells us about this fellowship that we have. What it's supposed to look like. Now, it don't always look like this. But this is the plans for it. Okay? So first off, what we find is to be in this fellowship, it requires a calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible said, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But now I'm thankful that even though it is a calling, He don't exclude anybody as long as you're willing to come by His terms. He said, if I be lifted up, He said, I draw all men unto me. Right? The grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Right? Teaching them that denying ungodly, or let's say, teaching them that denying ungodly lust. I can't remember. Over there in the book of Titus, you can go read it. But we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how it finishes. But anyway, so we are supposed to be called into this thing. And I can stand here today and say that everybody in this room has been called to this fellowship. You say, well, how so? Well, read how the book ends. And the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let him that is what? Athirst. Come. So everybody here has received a call. Now I understand that there is a drawing of the Holy Ghost once all those things are made known. Once God starts revealing himself, that calling gets real strong. And if you've ever been born again, you know what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God seems to, instead of that call going out generally, it becomes real personal. And you know that God is speaking individually to you. But generally, that call has went out. That's why we have John 3:16. That's why it says, whosoever will, let him come. That call is general. We're not out to exclude anybody. But you have to come God's way. But it is a calling. So if you want in this fellowship, you come through the call of God. And although we don't exclude people, this thing is an exclusive fellowship. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there's some things that just aren't allowed. There's some things that aren't allowed in this fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, it says, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. That's pretty plain, isn't it? So if you're going to be in the fellowship with the Son and with the Father, you can't be fellowshipping with devils. That's pretty simple. Also, he asked the question in 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So remember, this whole book of 1 John is about fellowship, right? It's what we talked about last week. But you can't have fellowship. We're not talking about relationship. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about that sweet, intimate fellowship. You can't have fellowship with Christ and be fellowshipping with devils. It don't work. It don't work. You'll hate the one. You'll love the one, hate the other. That's what it says. It's real plain. You can't do both. You cannot come in Sunday and rejoice in the Lord and it be real, and from Monday to Saturday live like a devil. Now you can come in here and fake it to me all you want to. I mean, Jesse, they can. I don't know. Most of these people, I don't see them any through the week. I just don't. I don't know how you live. And I'll be honest with you, I don't ask people how you live. I probably don't want to know how a lot of people live. I get disappointed. And if you hang around me for a while, Matt, you get disappointed. So I just assume not know about a lot of things. And sometimes it's better that way. But we should be exclusively fellowshipping with the Lord. And there should never be a time in our week that we are fellowshipping with unrighteousness, with darkness, or with devils. And the Scripture is real plain about that. Ephesians 5:11 says it this way, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, make it clear what they are and get rid of them. That's what he's saying. Call them for what they are and get out of it. And I'm afraid we've got a lot of people living a life that they want to act like, Brother Dustin, that they've got fellowship with the Lord. But when you see them out in the world, it's real clear that that fellowship is not so close. I'm not trying to judge. I really, that's not my goal. I'm not trying to get anybody to go out there and judge people. But you know as well as I do, I mean, if you go out and I'm going to, I'll use this as an example because hopefully nobody here does this. That way I ain't hurting nobody's feelings. And if you do, you need to fix it. But Brother Rick, if I'm working with somebody and they claim to be a Christian, and today we have a conversation about the Bible, and we ought to be able to have conversations about the Bible with fellow Christians. But then tomorrow I walk up to them And I start hearing some of them four-letter words out of their mouth. That makes me question what they are. And you say, well, I can still cuss and be saved. I'm not judging that. I can say you can't be cussing and have fellowship with the Lord. We all make mistakes. And we all fall short in different ways, Adam. And maybe that was one of your old sins that you struggled with that tries to flare back up. I don't know. But what I'm saying is you can't do those things and say that you have fellowship. It just don't work that way. You can't have both. You can't have both. The Lord called us out. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then he said, touch not the unclean thing. He's real plain about it. Boy, this feels good today, doesn't it? Man, everybody seems real sad about this morning. Why are we sad about living right, though? We ought not, should we? Man, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. And so we ought to want to live like he wants us to live. We're his. So I don't understand why that we get so long in the face about saying we ought to live right. We ought to dress right. We ought to talk right. Nothing wrong with it. Do we need to stay here a while? I don't know. I feel like we might ought to stay here for a while. We ought to be careful how that we live our lives, folks. We wonder why churches are falling apart, why the church doors are closed, why we go into churches and there's not people there. And I'm not saying that those people are living wrong. I wouldn't say that. There's good people in those churches. But there is a reason, as a whole, why we don't have people interested in what we have. We're blessed here, and God's blessed us tremendously. And I'm thankful for it. And I think it's a result of our outreach to people. And he just blesses us in spite of us, honestly. But as a whole, the church, the reason we don't see more people saved is I'm afraid our lives do not depict the fellowship that we truly have with the Son and with the Father. If they saw that intimate, close fellowship that we can truly have, they would notice what we have, and they would want it. You cannot get a glimpse of what we can have and not want it. I don't know how you could. But she's happy about it, amen? But anyway, let's move on. So it's exclusive. You can't have fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the devils. It just don't work that way. But also, in this fellowship, it's a ministering fellowship. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, it talks about the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. So you get it, become part of this, you become part of something that wants to reach out and touch other people, other like people in the fellowship. Not just them, but that's part of it. When you get part of this thing, when you have fellowship with this group and with the Son and with the Father, this group has a desire to reach others. Has a desire to minister. That word minister means to serve, Brother Nathaniel. And so you get in this thing, it's a service. I want involved in something that other people, when I get down, are interested in helping me. And I ought to feel the same way about you. That's what being in fellowship with the Lord looks like. If you're right with the Lord, when you see somebody else that's not right with the Lord, what should you want to do? You should want to minister unto them. You should want to help them. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. Considering yourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Folks, the scripture is real clear. We're to be ministers. I'm not talking about everybody supposed to stand up here and preach. But what I'm saying is everybody in here that's a child of God is to be a minister. And you've been called to a fellowship that involves the ministering to the saints. We are here to help one another. They're your brother and sister in Christ, after all. And so that ought to be a desire that we have, is to minister one to another. Now, I like this next one. In Galatians 2:9, this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's talking about James and Cephas, which is Peter, and John. And he says this, Dustin. He says, when they came, when Paul and Barnabas came to them, this is what it says about James, Cephas, and John. It says, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. So it's a welcoming fellowship. Folks, we ought not... Me and Kevin was talking about this just this week. Both of us have lived out of town, way out of this area before, and had to go find a church. Who in here has ever had to go out and look for a church and not just been raised around one all your life? I mean, I was raised in one. I was raised right here. But Brother Stephen, if you've ever tried to go out into churches, how is that a fun experience? No, it's not a fun experience. Hey, I'm telling you. Here's the term. It's a jungle out there. How about that? You don't know what you're... When you walk in a church, don't matter how good the outside looks, when you walk in, you don't know what you're getting. And I'll never forget one that we walked up when we moved to Kingsport. And me and Kelsey were first looking for a church. We walked into this church, Dustin. And nothing wrong with this church. I looked at their website, because I always did that. I always researched places before we went. If I didn't know who to talk to, I'd look it up online and see what I could find that was said about them. And we walked into the one. Man, it's a big place, big church. It's an independent Baptist church. And I thought, man, these people, they got the right doctrine. Got to be a good place. We walk in, knock on the, I didn't knock on the door, walk through the door. How about that? And we go in, and we walk in the foyer like that. And there is nobody to greet us. Nobody. Everybody's just running around. Brother Nathaniel, we didn't know where to go. We went in for Sunday school is what it was. We went in their Sunday school time. Nobody there. Nobody come up and said, welcome, we're so glad to have you. Nobody gave us the right hand of fellowship, Dustin. We had to flag somebody down. I hope this never happens at this church. But we had to flag somebody down and said, can you tell us where we're supposed to go? And the one that we talked to, Nathaniel, couldn't even tell us. They said, I don't know what Sunday school classes we have. Like, are you kidding me? If you don't know what Sunday school classes we have and you've been here a year, you got problems. You should know who our Sunday school teachers are. And you should have a pretty good idea of their age groups. And if you don't know that, you should know where to find them. And at least you should be able to go to the pastor and say, what Sunday school classes do we have? And at least point somebody down the right hallway. But that's what it was like. And we went and said, at that point, I can't even tell you what happened the rest of the time we were there. But that was the impression. And guess what? Did I ever go back? No. Folks, we ought to make people feel welcome. Now, I know this is talking about the fellowship with the Father and with the Son, but when we see some people come in these doors, we don't know if they're Christians, we don't know if they're sinners. Sometimes we have an idea, sometimes we don't. But if you want to have a good testimony of a church, you welcome people. When it comes time to shake hands, when it comes time to dismiss and you know that there's a visitor here, please go up to them and make them feel welcome. Don't act like you're scared of them. I see some of you, I'm not trying to hurt no feelings, some of you are afraid to talk to anybody. And I get some people shy or whatever. Those of us that aren't, let's make up for it. But be willing to step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. I'm not saying you got to go have a conversation with them, nothing like that. But at least walk up to them and say, hey, we're glad to have you today. If you're the one walking in somewhere that you've never been and you don't know anybody, wouldn't you feel better about it if somebody come up and at least acted like they were glad you're there? I'm not saying we have these problems, folks, but I've seen a lot of places that do. And I've been glad for the places that come up and made me feel welcome. Man, it's quiet, ain't it?
That's good, though, Josh. That's right.
Folks, this fellowship that we're in should be a welcoming fellowship. We ought to welcome people. Now, I understand that we don't welcome the ones that's out there living like the devil. I'm not saying we welcome into the intimate fellowship or whatever. But we ought to be a welcoming church. And when somebody comes in here, we ought to welcome them. And we don't have to be skeptical about everybody. I mean, did you have everything just right when you got saved?
No.
It ought to be a welcoming fellowship. And I guess our time's about up. I didn't make it nowhere near where I wanted to go. But I appreciate your good intention, and I don't mean to be critical to anybody here. But I want everybody to understand the importance of what being a Christian is about and what it ought to look like to in each of every one of our lives, Adam. There ought never be a time that I see you, Adam, and you snub your nose to me. Even if I don't care for Adam, which is not the case, I'm saying that because I know he don't care. I'm not hurting his feelings. But even if me and him aren't the best of friends, I have one thing, Adam, regardless of anything else, that I can fellowship with you about. And that's the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And because the Holy Spirit did a work in my heart and He did a work in your heart, me and you can have fellowship together, brother. If we don't agree on anything else, we can agree on that. And it'd be okay for us to just focus on that, wouldn't you agree? But I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. And just, folks, welcome somebody this morning. Tell them you're glad to see them. If you're a member here and there's people, visitors here that you've never spoken to that have been coming for more than a few weeks, you probably ought to go talk to them and just say, hey, welcome. We're glad to have you. We have a time of handshake. That's a good time to do it because there's not time to have a conversation. The music's playing, they're not expecting a conversation. But you can at least go up and shake their hand. Even if you're afraid to say anything, go shake their hand. Let them know, hey, glad to have you, okay? I appreciate everybody's good attention. Didn't mean to dwell on none of that, but seemed like it was sinking in somewhere.